Okay, so I'm going to talk about some work I did during my PhD at Oregon State University, along with the USDA ARS there. So just another quick overview for people that just came in. We're talking about Drosophila zizukii, spotted-winged Drosophila, or SWD. It's in the vinegar fly family, but unlike most vinegar flies, this one lays eggs in fresh ripening fruit on the plants. There's a male. They're the only ones that have spots on the wings. The females are spotless. However, they do have this lovely serrated ovipositor, which they use to cut through fresh fruit and deposit an egg, which looks like this here. You'll see the egg right underneath the fruit skin with breathing tubes sticking out. You'll get some soft fruit. Those are the first symptoms. And if you open that fruit up, you'll see larvae like we just saw earlier. And then those develop into pupae and then into adults, and the cycle begins again. So there's multiple generations per year, which is why this is such a serious threat. And it's now in all over the U.S., in Europe, also North America, Europe, and most recently in South America, too, now. So with that, growers have to actively manage for this pest and using insecticides. And so with that, there are a lot of application challenges to do so, especially going through a blueberry row, as in the image on the left, that's loaded with fruit. When you're traveling down there with your sprayer, there's worry that there will be a lot of fruit knockdown, because in the past, growers haven't had, at least in Oregon, growers haven't had to spray during the harvest season. Then on top of that, they have to deal with restricted entry intervals, pre-harvest intervals, and if they're shipping to a foreign market with maximum residue levels. So all of this has increased the costs of production, not to mention disrupted IPM, current IPM systems that growers might have established in their field, and have significant impact on non-targets, so basically on the good bugs. So with any management program, we have three main management practices. There's biological, and an example of that is using predators or parasitoids, such as here, of spotted-winged Drosophila. There's cultural management, which is where we would, an example of that is switching from an overhead irrigated field where you have high humidity to a drip irrigated field where you have low humidity, which is what Drosophila do not prefer. And then, as always, with any new invasive coming in, chemicals are the first line of defense. And so that's the focus of my research, is how can we reduce insecticide inputs of chemicals. So, but first off, we need to talk about all the application strategies. So there's a helicopter or aerial sprays that are done, and those produce really large droplet size and only really get coverage on the top of the canopy. Mistigation, Dr. Wei Yang will talk about. Electrostatic sprays, the spray as it comes out of the nozzle is electrically charged, and so you get really uniform fine droplets and good coverage. And then the most common method is air blast and trellis sprayers, and then cannon sprayers, which spray pesticides up to 100 feet. And so my focus was on these latter two application methods. And so I'll start off with my alternate row spray trial, which I did in raspberries. And raspberries are a highly susceptible host to SWD. And alternate row sprays is a simple concept. It's you basically go in your field and you skip a row. So basically, you're using the same tank as an every row spray, but you're just covering twice as much area with that same tank. And the premise behind using this is that you leave a row untreated for natural enemies to use as a refuge. And it usually works with pests that are mobile, like SWD. So any flies that are in that untreated row, they move so much, they'll move into the treated row and then die. So the idea is that you get similar control between the two treatments, and so we decided to test that in the past 3 years at four different sites, and I had blocks randomized, and the blue is showing the every row sprays, or what I'll now call complete sprays, and the red is the alternate row sprays. And within each plot, I had six traps for spotted wing Drosophila, where I monitored for adults using apple cider vinegar and clear cups, and for larvae using the salt extraction method. And the green circles denote where I monitored for non-targets. And by non-targets, I mean natural enemies or secondary pests. And I only did this during the post-harvest. And I forgot to mention that the growers I worked with only treated 2 to 3 times for spotted wing Drosophila. It could go, that's kind of the low end. Some growers treated up to 8 times for spotted wing Drosophila during the harvest season. So here are the results. We have the harvest season on the x-axis and the mean captures with standard errors on the y-axis, and we had no significant differences between the treatments. Similar story with the larvae. But however, we did conserve some natural enemies. We conserved Stethoris, which is also called the spider mite destroyer, and it was conserved in 2011 and 2013, and by conserved, I mean there were higher counts in the alternate row spray plots. And this is consistent with previous work that was done way back in the 70s where apple orchards were alternate row sprayed. We had another natural enemy that was conserved, and that was Psilobora, which is a natural enemy of powdery mildews. And we had higher counts in alternate row spray plots in 2013. And both of those are in the ladybug beetle family. So now switching gears from raspberries to blueberries, and I want to talk about my border spray trial. Lindsay talked about her border spray trial also. So the premise behind this is that we know that the flies tend to overwinter in the surrounding areas and use that area as a refuge, especially when there are alternate hosts in there. And in Oregon, we have lots of Himalayan blackberries and wild cherries that they love to hang out in. And as the crop begins to ripen, you get this migration of flies into the crop. And so what we figured is, well, if we put up a wall of pesticides around the border of the field and maintain this wall through frequent applications every 7 days, that the flies will not come into the field. So that's what we did in Liberty Blueberries. It's a mid to late season variety, commonly grown in Oregon. And in the border spray picture, you see the grower using a cannon sprayer to spray pesticides 100 feet into the crop. This is our experimental design. We had 4 traps in the border and 4 traps in the interior. And the interior is the area that was left untreated during the season. Again, we have yellow and green signifying where we trap for Drosophila zizuchii and the non-targets. The black stars is where we quantified fruit knockdown in kilograms per hectare. And so we compared that to the complete spray treatment. And so here are results for that. Again, in 2012 and 2013, we had no significant differences between the treatments, and there were barely any larvae found. We found a total of 1 larva in 2012 and a total of 7 larva in 2013. So very low numbers. And in terms of natural enemies, again, we conserved the Stethoris, the spider mite destroyer, and we had more Stethoris in the border spray plots. And in terms of fruit knockdown, we had more fruit knockdown in the complete spray plot, which was expected in 2012, marginally so. But in 2013, there was barely any fruit knockdown. And the reason for that was the growers changed some things in their management practices. So in 2012, they used a tractor and a sprayer, and they hadn't yet trellised their plants. However, in 2013, they trellised their plants, and they bought this fancy over-the-row sprayer with narrow tracks that could treat four rows at a time. And so whenever you're making management decisions and thinking about using these reduced spray strategies, you always want to keep in mind SWD risk. And here are some examples of where I'll talk about high-risk situations. So in a landscape, if your crop is surrounded by wild areas with a lot of alternate hosts in them, such as wild cherries and wild berries, or if you have neighbors that grow susceptible crops as well, you're at high risk. If you have a winter that's mild, you have a higher population of flies overwintering, hence higher density during the field season. I already mentioned a little bit about the overhead irrigation. You have higher humidity, which they prefer. And then if you're growing a crop that ripens late in the season, you're at higher risk because we've seen, at least in Oregon, higher populations in late summer and in the fall. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the economics here involved. We used an extension bulletin put out by OSU to estimate savings in 10 acres or 4 hectares of Marionberry blackberries in the alternate row spray trial and of blueberries in the border spray trial. And we considered insecticide costs, the times it takes to apply the treatments, sprayer costs, so that's wear and tear and gasoline, and fruit knockdown was again only done in the border spray trial. And so then those are the estimated savings for a 10-acre or 4-hectare plot of those two varieties using those treatments. So in any pest management strategy, the main goal is always to tilt towards fewer pesticides. And so with these reduced spray strategies, that gives growers another tool to use to minimize insecticide inputs while also conserving natural enemies. And this is also an easily implementable strategy for them. But as we gain more pest knowledge, we can use other tools. And those tools will be discussed next by Dr. Wei Yang and Dr. Cesar Rodriguez. So I'll be happy to take one question or two. Yes?
Both you and Lindsay mentioned border spray. Is that legal? I mean, I know in our state they won't let you use a border spray, but that's not a legal use.
So by border sprays, we're talking about spraying into the crop, not into the surrounding areas. There are, however, in Oregon at least, there are some pesticides that are labeled for spraying non-crop areas. But they're very specific, and you have to watch out for those. Yes, Cesar.
Did you see efficacy of the border spray when the populations are high?
Yes, so the question was about efficacy of border sprays when populations were high. So in 2012, we had a low-pressure scenario. So we only used border sprays the entire harvest season. But in 2013, we had a mild winter, and populations were really high. So it was So we actually had to integrate border sprays with the complete spray method to get good enough control. So it depends on the pressure. Yes?
How deep was your border spray?
So the Cannon sprayer that we used is the J1000 developed by Jack Doe, and that sprayed 100 feet. There's some smaller ones that spray less. I did a little bit of preliminary trial where I wanted to see what the coverage is like, and you only get coverage for 50 feet, although the company says you get 100 feet. And then if you take those leaves and expose them to flies, it's only within that 50 feet that you get good mortality.
So in general, for border sprays, is that if they're saying 50 feet or 100 feet is needed, maybe
They don't really say. It kind of depends on the pest, I think, and it also, if you're doing it in apple orchards, you would treat multiple rows, and I've seen anything from just 2 rows to 5 rows that have been treated in border sprays. Yes, Ash?
Did you test the coverage of blueberries in a different part of canopy when you were spraying the border sprays?
So I put out water-sensitive paper and looked at how far the sprays go into the field. Is that your question?
Right.
Yes, so up to 50 feet is how far the sprays went, but really good coverage was up to 40 feet, 20 to 40 feet. And by good coverage, I mean in the top of the canopy. The handout that I provided, that last table, shows you using a Cannon sprayer, and it has the water-sensitive paper in the top, middle, and bottom of the canopy going from 1 foot all the way to 40 feet into the crop. And you'll see that the coverage is best towards the top of the canopy, and really throughout the canopy you only get up to 20 feet.
Okay.